الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، then today, ولله الحمد، this evening, just before قبيل المغرب, or just before the time of Maghrib, I sit here with you, my brothers and sisters, here at Masjid Dar Sunnah in Shepherd's Bush. Today, the 3rd of Dhul Qa'dah in the year 1437 after the Hijrah, which coincides with the 7th of August in the year 2016. And it has been since I've been here, and it is a pleasure to see that, in fact, instead of the numbers decreasing of those who have come to you because of the clarity and the purity of your da'wah, that the numbers have not declined, but the numbers have increased, because this is the nature of da'wah to Salafiyya. Da'wah to Salafiyya is a da'wah that invites. It is a da'wah that is magnetic, and people gravitate towards da'wah to Salafiyya because of its purity, its cleansing, you know, its cleansing nature. It is a da'wah of tasfiya and tarbiyah. It is a da'wah that purifies, and it is a da'wah that cultivates. So it is heartwarming, and it is a pleasure to the souls and a comfort to them that the numbers, walillahi alhamd, not that, of course, we are people who count. But when people come to Islam, it is a joy to the hearts, because we know the immense reward of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the call of the prophets and the messengers. And the prophets and messengers were sent to call people to Allah. And there is no one higher in Jannah than the Anbiya and the Rusul. And at the foremost of them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, I'm going to mention to you a hadith or two before the time of Maghrib, from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that have tremendous benefit in them if one was to ponder over them. They occurs in that which is narrated by Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, that is marfu, meaning that its hukum and its ruling is that it is ascribed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, and remember, if the hukum is marfu, meaning that it is ascribed to Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said, إنكم اليوم في زمان كثير علماؤه. You are living in a time in which there are many علماء. قليل خطباء. That they are قليل خطباؤه, meaning that they are a small number of just preachers, people who just have kalam and talk. But the علماء are many, meaning in the time of Rasulullah, in the time of the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. علماء are many. And the preachers and speakers and those who just talk, they are few in number. And whomsoever leaves off even a tenth of what he knows, then he would have fallen. Then he said, وَيَأْتِ مِنْ بَعْدِ زَمَانٌ كَثِيرٌ خُتَبَاؤُهُ. So then there will come a time in which the khutaba, the preachers and speakers and those who want to talk, that they are many in number. قَلِيلٌ ulama'uhu, and there will be a small number of ulama in that era. And whomsoever holds on to a tenth of what he knows in that time, faqad naja, then he will have succeeded and been successful. He is saved. So here we find an era in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, when the ulama are many, then leaving even a tenth of what the ulama they have taught you by way of the Quran and the Sunnah, the Aqidatul Sahihah, the Manhaj al-Saleem, the correct methodology, the correct aqidah, leaving even a tenth of that would bring about destruction upon you. Why? Because knowledge is widespread. It is clear, it is apparent, it is pure. So you're not allowed to leave it. Leaving even a tenth would destroy you in that time. Then there will come a time, Wallahu al-musta'an, maybe it is the times that we are living in now, in which the preachers and the people of kalam, and the people who make the loudest noise, because they are people with the emptiest of vessels. They make a loud noise, and they have no knowledge because the ulama are few. So they put themselves forward to give ilm, so-called. And whomsoever holds on to 10%, even a tenth of the haqq in that time, then he is saved. So, this barakallahu feekum is due to the fact that there is difficulty in enacting and holding on to the deen before the hour is established. And there occurs that which has been reported upon Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that he said in a narration that is authentic upon him, as many of the ulama from them, Shaykh al-Albani and others have mentioned, that a time will not come upon you except that it is more evil than the time that came before. Of course, that's the hadith of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يأتي عليكم اليوم إلا هو شر من اليوم الذي كان قبله. That a day will not come upon you except that it is more evil than the day that came before it. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, I do not mean in terms of comfort and prosperity in one's life that he receives, or wealth which he gets benefit from. Rather, it is a day that does not come upon you except that it is lesser in knowledge than the day that preceded. And when the ulama disappear, then the people will all come to one level. No ulama, so everyone is the same. They will not, or they will no longer enjoin the good, and they will not forbid the evil. They will stop enjoying the good and stop forbidding the evil. And at that point, they will be destroyed. This narration collected by Imam al-Darimi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And this is the reality. Just as Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said in a narration, or rather, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, how will you be? How will you be? كيف أنتم? When you are enveloped by fitna, wherein the young ones, they become old, and the old ones, they become decrepit. And when one leaves that fitna, when you are enveloped by that fitna, and everyone wants you to take to that fitna, meaning bid'ah and misguidance and balala. So you say, I don't want that fitna, and I don't want anything to do with this that you are involved in. Then it will be said that the sunnah has been left. How will you be in that time? So he was said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Mata dhaak ya Aba Abdurrahman? When will that occur? When will that fitna come when you are enveloped, when we are enveloped? And if you leave the fitna, they will say that you are leaving the sunnah. When is that? He said, Idha dhahabat ulama'ukum. When your ulama, that they have disappeared. When your ulama, they have disappeared, and your ignorant ones, they become numerous. Your reciters, they become plentiful. And your fuqaha, the people of knowledge and the scholars, they are few. And your leaders are many. Your trustworthy ones will be few. And the world is sought and clung to by doing the deeds of the hereafter. And the religious knowledge is sought for other than the religion. These are times that we are living in, subhanAllah, that a person will do the deeds of the people of the akhirah. They will claim that they are calling to sunnah, and they want the akhirah, and they want the reward of Allah, but really they are doing it for the reward of the dunya. They seek knowledge, and they seek religious knowledge for other than the deen itself. Why? Because they want to use their religion to raise them, and to elevate them. Because their real desire is what? Fame and notoriety. That they want their name to be mentioned. The dhikrul asma, or the mention of particular names, that our names are up in lights. Wallahu al-musta'an. And this is the haqiqah of the times that we are living in now. So one must be careful, because these are times of deception and deceit. As Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a narration that has been collected by Imam al-Bukhari and others, that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there will come upon you years of treachery. These years of deception and treachery, wherein the liar will be believed and the truthful shall be disbelieved. The treacherous one will be trusted and the trustworthy will be seen as treacherous. And in that time, the Ruwaybida will speak out. He was said, that who are the Ruwaybida? Mar Ruwaybida? So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that it is a lowly, ignoble man who speaks in public matters. And now we see that around us now. The truthful one, the scholars, ignored. In fact, they are called kadhabun, scholars of the rulers, the scholars of the sultan. That these people don't take knowledge from them. And the ignorant ones, they are the ones who are given the trust. And the liars and the untrustworthy ones. So now when you look at the people, and we just finished off in with our brothers in Alperton. And one of the questions was, yeah, brother, can you explain whether a person should go to YouTube and start listening to lectures of people who are unknown? This is the disease of our times. Unfortunately, a disease that has even entered the ranks of the Salafiyun, Ahlul Sunnah. That they will listen to something and then they will ask, ya akhi, I was listening to a dars the other day on YouTube. I don't remember the man's name, but he was, ya akhi, what are you doing? Inna hadha al-ilm deen. Muhammad ibn Sirin, he said, indeed, this knowledge, it is deen. So look to whom you're taking your deen from. You're taking your religion from majahil, from unknowns. Rather, even sometimes these people will listen to a person and they will say to you, like you find sometimes in a WhatsApp, they say, Akhi, have you heard this lecture? They're speaking against the Salafis. I think you should listen to it and refute it. What are you doing listening to that? Why are you opening your ears in a time when these are times of fitna and you are enveloped by it? When the Salaf of this Ummah, Barakallahu Feekum, like Ibn Battah, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, Sahib, Ibanatul Kubra, and Sughra, that he said, Ibn Battah, he mentions the hadith of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when the Dajjal, he appears, he said to the Sahaba, when he appears, do not go near him, don't approach him. For indeed a believer will go and approach the Dajjal and he will believe that he is strong in his iman, a mu'min, qawi, strong in his iman. And he will not come back up until he has come back filled with doubts. In a narration, up until he comes back as a follower of the Dajjal. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look here, how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade us from coming near the Dajjal. Even if you are strong in iman, and the sifat of the Dajjal are zahira. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa described him, one of his eyes is squashed. He is one-eyed and your Lord is not one-eyed. He will have the word kafir written upon his forehead that every believer, illiterate or literate, will be able to read it. He will come with miracles or what people will perceive to be miracles. And he will be upon the earth for 40 days, the first day like a year, the second day like a month, the third day like a week, and the rest of the 37 days like normal days. Do not approach him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So you know that this is the Dajjal, you know. Yet the Prophet ﷺ said, don't go to him. You will recognize him, but don't go to him. Don't go near him. Even a person who considers to have strong iman, that he approaches him and he will come back filled with doubts. That's Dajjal, whose sifat are apparent and clear. Kafir. The greatest fitna, the Prophet ﷺ said, that the greatest fitna upon the earth, there will be no fitna greater than the calamity of the Dajjal. This is the greatest fitna that will ever occur on the earth. Ibn Battah said, he said, and this is what the Prophet ﷺ said about the Dajjal. He said, by Allah, that they are people, that the fitna and the corruption and the shubahat that come from the direction of Ahlul Bidah and Ahwa are more dangerous. He said that they are more, they are more attached, and they are more able to infect and take hold of a person more than scabies or scabs that come upon his skin. That's how they attach themselves to you, the shubahat of Ahlul Bid'ah. And they are more flammable upon the heart than wood that is ready to be burned. He said, by Allah, I know. This is Ibn Battah. He said, I know a group of people from our brothers, from our ashab, that they used to be harsh against Ahlul Bid'ah. And they would refute them and they would revile them. Because they knew that they were people of misguidance. Then they came and they said that indeed we shall enter upon Ahlul Bid'ah. And we shall debate with them. And we shall argue with them. And we shall try to remove them from their bid'ah. But they do not know, and they were not aware of the subtle complexities and the subtle da'wah of Ahlul Bid'ah. That they will come to them in a manner that is subtle. And they will infiltrate upon them, or they will infiltrate into them some of the subtle kufr and oppositions to the sunnah. He said such that eventually they were deceived by them and they became from them. This is the reality, my brothers and sisters, of misguidance. So when these liars and these treacherous ones become many and they start speaking out in public affairs and they start spreading their disease and they start spreading their ideas, Ahlul Sunnah, barakallahu feekum, we flee from that. And we hold on to the affair as it was in the beginning. That we make rujoo' ila al-amr al-awwal. As occurs in that tremendous hadith from Abu Waqid al-Laythi radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, innaha satakun fitna. Indeed, there shall be fitna. So some of the companions who were sitting around, they didn't hear the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Mu'adh said, "Ala tasma'u ma yaqul Rasulullah?" Have you not heard what the messenger just said? They said, "We didn't hear it. What did he say?" So then he said, "Mu'adh, he said that indeed there will be fitna." So the Sahaba, they said, "Ya Rasulullah, fa kayfa lana ya Rasulullah? Wa kayfa nasna'?" How are we to be, your messenger of Allah? How are we to behave? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, turja'una ila amrikum al-awwal. You are to return back to the affair as it was in the beginning. Before the fitna, before deviations, before bid'ah, before sectarianism, before the tahazzub and the ahzab, they came. Go to the affair as it was in the beginning, in the time of Abu Bakr and Umar, in the time of the Sahaba, the earlier generations, before the deviations came back. Because now when you look at this huge block of 1300 years or more since the time of the Sahaba and now, you will see that in that block there is all types of deviations and calls and misguidance. The misguidance of the Shia and the Khawarij and the philosophies and Ahlul Kalam, the bid'ah of the modern times, the bid'ah of the Harakiyin, the likes of Ikhwan al-Muflisin and the Islamic Front in Algeria, the FIS, and Hamas in Palestine, and the various other groups, ISIS and others. So if you take these 1300 years of Islamic history, you will see generation after generation after generation the various innovations and misguidance. How does one decipher through all of that what is haqq and what is batil? He's just come to Islam. He's just come to iltizam. He's just come to, you know, to enter the religion, and he wants to be upon istiqamah, but that's all he sees. When he looks into history, that's all he sees. He sees all of these calls and all of these ideas. He sees Jamaatul Tabligh, he sees Diobandiya, he sees Breilwiya, he sees Chishtiya, Qadiriya. Amongst them he sees a small number of people that call themselves Salafis. He sees all of this. So he thinks to himself, Subhanallah, what am I to do? What is he to do? So what he does is works backwards. Skip all of this. Let's look at the affair as it was in the beginning. Just as the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, تُرْجِعُونَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِكُمُ الْأَوَّلِ, that you will return back, go back to the affair as it was in the beginning. Because that's when it was pristine. قَدْ تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَىٰ الْبَيْدَىٰ, I have left you upon clear proof. Clear, white, plain, pure. Stick to it as it was then. In a similar narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he said to them, there will be fitna. They said, Ya Rasulullah, how are we to behave? He was sitting on a rug with his Sahaba. So this was calamity to strike Bani Israel, was the calamity of the women, the fitna of the Nisa. The first calamity to strike the Ummah will be the fitna of the woman. So we are called from every direction, from sins and music and, you know, from riba and money and dunya. And then on the other side, from bid'ah and dalala and misguidance, how does a person maneuver through this maze? Except by returning the affair to as it was in the beginning. So how was the affair in the beginning? The affair in the beginning, in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. How do we know how it was? Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not allowed the religion to be diminished in any way. So the scholars of the early generations, they preserved the deen. They preserved it, they compiled it, they collected it in books of hadith, in books of aqeedah, in books of iman, in books of tawheed, in books of sunnah. They preserved it. Nothing of the deen has been lost. You want to know what the affair was in the beginning? It takes nothing more than opening up the books of the Salaf. How many books are written in Aqeedah? Book after book after book, poems in Aqeedah. The Ha'iyah of Ibn Abi Dawood, Al-Sijistani Rahimahullah, Abu Bakr Abdullah, Al-Sijistani, the son of the Hafid, the Imam, Abu Dawood, Al-Sijistani, the author of the Sunan. Died in the year 316, he wrote some lines of poetry that even a child could memorize. So that the Aqeedah remains firm. You want to know how the affair was in the beginning? You read that. You read the books of the Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Usul al-Sunnah. You read the works of Imam al-Barbahari, Sharh al-Sunnah, As-Sunnah of al-Khallaj. You want to know how the affair was in the beginning? Go back to those works. Or the Encyclopedia of Aqeedah, written by Imam al-Lalakai in the 4th century or the 5th century. Sharh Rasul Ittiqad Ahl-Sunnati wal-Jama'ah. The books of Imam al-Sabuni, Aqidatul Salaf, Ashab al-Hadith. This is the affair as it was in the beginning. You want to know if any of these sects are following the way of the Salaf, then compare their speech to their speech. Compare their speech to the affair as it was in the beginning. That's why every single group and every single sect out there, all of these ahzab, all of these groups, all of these parties, what are they doing? All of them want to disconnect the youth of this era from the kutub of the early Salaf. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala said that the latter part of this ummah will not be rectified except that which rectified its earliest part. So if the ummah wants to be, and that's Imam Malik, died in 179. He's talking about his era, meaning my era, meaning the era of Malik ibn Anas. It will not be rectified. And that which comes after me will not be rectified except that which rectified the early part of the ummah. The early part meaning the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Has the issue changed today? Nothing's changed. Rectification in terms of our personal life, in terms of our interaction with the people, in terms of our behavior with each other, in terms of how we relate to Ahlul Bidah, or rather not relate to Ahlul Bidah. All of this, it revolves around those kutub of Salafiyya that were written in the early times. And returning back to them and studying them with the scholars of Sunnah and Salafiyya. This is what is important upon every Salafi. We know that each and every one of us, that we have roles and duties in our life. We got children to look after. We got wives to look after. We got rent to pay. We got bills to pay, utilities to pay, and then on top of this is toil, ya ikhwan. What do you expect? This is the life that we live. Don't say, oh, my life is too much. No, this is the life. You think the path to Jannah is going to be easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to test you. There's not going to be hardships. There's not going to be hurdles. Allah jalla wa ala is just going to leave you to say, amanna billahi, and then just leave you. Allah will test you. He will test you with your families. He will test you with your wealth. He will test you with your deen. Just as even the anbiya. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that those who are tried the most are the prophets. Then those who resemble them. Then those who resemble them. Who resembles the prophets the most? Who? Answer. Ulama. The ulama, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hum warathatul anbiya. They are the inheritors of the prophets. They are the ones who are tried the most after the anbiya. And who has the highest ranks in Jannah? Except the anbiya and those who follow them. And who follow them the closest? The ulama. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ عَنَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَصِدِّيقِينَ وَشُهَدَاءِ وَصَالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that whosoever obeys Allah and obeys the Messenger of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place them alongside whom? Alongside those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His blessings and His grace upon. From the Nabiyeen, from the Prophets, from the Siddiqeen, those who are staunchly truthful. So staunchly truthful, my brothers and sisters, they cannot lie. It's just not in their makeup to tell a lie. This is Abu Bakr. Can't lie. Even if they tried, they can't lie. Siddiqeen. The likes of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and those who resemble him. وَشُهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. The martyrs and the righteous. وَحَسُنَا أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And what a noble and excellent companionship that is. This is for whom, ya ikhwan? Those who go through these toils of life, they don't give up. They don't say, ya akhi, no, I can't come to the dars, I've got bills to pay. No, pay the bill and come to the dars. Work and come to the durus. Come to the masjid. Stick to salafiyah. You got a wife to look after. Look after your wife and your children. Pick them up. Drop them off. Come to the masjid. Pray in the masjid. Go to the dars. Your whole life is like this. You're waiting for ease. You're in the wrong profession, my brother. The life is not a life of ease. It is a life of joy and happiness. Why are we joyous and happiness? Because we know that when we are upon this path, whatever hardship comes, we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are here to please Him. So we are never saddened, and we don't feel sad. Uplifting, Dawah Salafiyah is uplifting. Because we look forward to the fact that we're going to wake up for Fajr. We don't say, oh no, not another Fajr. This is not our way. The Salafi, he loves the fact that Salah, and Siyam, and Hajj, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to put food into a morsel of food into the mouth of my wife and my children. I'm going to feed them. I'm going to clothe them. Puts happiness into his heart. A man will go out. He'll spend £200, £300 in the shops for his wife and children. Not buy a single thing for himself. And he will feel the joy and happiness in his heart. Why does he feel that? Because of a fulfillment of some of the aspects of the deen of Allah, of spending upon his family. He earned and he spent upon them, he fed them, he clothed them, he sheltered them. And then he gets them ready, let's go to the dars. Gets them ready, let's go to the conference. Barakallahu feekum, this is the beauty of Salafiyah. The Salafi doesn't say, no, I can't. I've got too much work on. La. He says, I've got work on, alhamdulillah, I'll see you at the dars tonight. I've got to take my wife somewhere. Nowhere. No problem. I'll take my wife somewhere and I'll see you at the dars tonight. I don't care. Barakallahu, he doesn't. This is life. This is the toil. People always say, oh, yeah, there's too much. Some of my, why is it over your head? La yukallifullahu nafsa illa wus'aha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden a soul more than it can bear. Allah didn't place anything on your shoulders that you can't take. Otherwise He wouldn't have placed it on your shoulders. Be like that, my brothers and sisters, with regard to all of your affairs. Don't feel in your hearts, it's too much. I can't do it. You can do it. اهل السنه ديال الغرباء اهل السنه والجماعه ديال الغرباء. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said ان الاسلام بدا غريبا وسيعود غريبا كما بدا فطوبى للغرباء. Islam began as something strange and it will return just as it began as something strange. So glad tidings of Jannah, or Tuba, which is actually a tree in Jannah whose trunk is made out of gold, is in Jannah. This is for you, for the ghuraba. Tuba lil ghuraba. Man hum ya Rasulullah, they said. They said, who are they, O Messenger of Allah? Alladhina yuslihuna idha fasada an-nas. They are those who rectify when the people have become corrupted. They are the rectifiers. They are the ones who enjoin the good and they forbid the evil. You say, what? Another thing you have to do now? We have to feed our families, feed ourselves, clothe our children, pay the rent, work, plow the field. For those of you who have got fields. Huh? I've got to drive to work, drive back from work, go to the dars, make sure my children are tahfidh al-Qur'an. And then I've got to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Yes! This is the life. But we don't feel saddened by this. We know that every single time we do something, we are accruing a good. A good is being added to something that we have done, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow the deeds to go to waste. That mizan yawm al-qiyamah, we want it to be heavy. We don't want it to be light. We want it to be heavy with good deeds. With our aqidah, with our methodology, with our defense of the haq, with our istiqamah, with our righteous deeds, with our Prophet Muhammad, with our sahaba, with our following of them, with our bara and bara. We want it filled with goodness to our parents, goodness to our children, goodness to our wives, attending the durus, driving from one place to another place just for the sake of Allah, so we benefit our mother and father, or benefit our brother or sister. We want it filled, so we don't look at them as chores. We see them as rewards. That's how we see it. Every time we do it, we think, inshallah, that scale a little bit heavier. A little bit heavier. On the other side, a little lighter, meaning the sins, a little bit lighter. You're busy with good things, which means what? That you cannot be busy with bad things. Right? You cannot, you know, you can't be sitting in a dars and listening to music at the same time. Because it's an impossibility. Well, it is a possibility, possibly. But it's really not something that is normally feasible. Right? You're sitting in a dars, the brother is talking Kitab al-Sunnah, Kitab al-Tawheed, you know, Umdatul Ahkam, Bulugh al-Maram. And you're sitting there, that saves you from the streets looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at, listening to things that you shouldn't be listening to. Salafiyya, subhanallah. When a person truly understands the holistic nature of this da'wah, how it absolutely encompasses everything, every affair of life. We are not jealous or envious of their big buildings and their big minarets and their big domes. Alhamdulillah for the ghetto mosque. Alhamdulillah for the mosque in the middle of nowhere. Alhamdulillah for the mud hut that we can sit in and give a dars in. Alhamdulillah. We don't care. Sheikh Muqbil didn't care. Barbahari didn't care. Ahmed bin Hanbal didn't care. It wasn't the dunya. It wasn't the wealth. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they wanted. It occurs in the narration of the same hadith of the ghuraba, where they asked the Prophet ﷺ, Man hum ya Rasulullah, who are the ghuraba, who are these strangers? Remember here the Prophet ﷺ, you know, some people say, oh, akhi, everyone's Muslim, don't use any other term. Here's the Prophet ﷺ using a term other than Muslim. He called them ghuraba, he didn't say they're Muslims. In a narration he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the ummah will divide into 73 shaykhs, kulluha fi nar illa wahida wa hiya al-jama'ah. He used the term jama'ah. He didn't say Muslim. You know, sometimes the people say, ya akhi, don't use these other terms. We are just Muslims. Don't use anything else. Say, what do you say about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam using the term ghuraba? What do you say about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam using the term aswad al-a'dam? What do you say about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam using the term jama'ah? What do you say about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam using the term ta'ifa? La tazalu ta'ifatun min ummati. There will never cease to be a group from my ummah, mansurin al-haq. Wa al-haq mansurin. Ta'ifatul mansura. So they asked the Messenger of Allah, who are they? Who are the ghuraba? Unasun salihun fi unasi su'in kathir. That they are people who are righteous. Salafiyun are righteous. This is a sifa of the Salafi. That a Salafi is a man who is salih. He has sidq. He has ikhlas. He is A person who is trustworthy, he is not khain, he is not treacherous. He is salih, he prays, he fasts. You can see the goodness apparent upon him. This is something that Sheikh Rabi mentions in some of his works. He said that a person, he said, wallahi, when you look at his face, you can see the goodness in the face of a person because of his khair and his istiqama and his goodness. You can see it in him. A person who is salih, the people notice he is, you know, he's like a candle that illuminates those people around him. He's an illumination for others. They are, you know, they gravitate towards him because of his khair and his trustworthiness. This is the Salafi. So that ghuraba, they are unas, salihun, they are righteous people. Amongst the people who are plentiful, but they are sinners. And those who obey them are few as compared to those who disobey them. And in a narration, that those who hate them are many as compared to those who love them or obey them. So Ahlul Sunnah in every age, they are despised. They are despised. Why? Because we can't stay quiet. They want you to be quiet. They say, you want to stick to it, just do it. But why? Even yesterday I was at a wedding. A young brother, he came to me, he said, oh, I went to some of the durus in Oxford. I said, alhamdulillah. He said, wallahi, very good, very good. You know, mashallah, it's ilm. This is knowledge. He said, my father's a tablighi or Hanafi or something. And he said, but only one thing. You know, you people, you talk about others. I said, but if you don't challenge. I said, Salafi, that was a da'wah that is dynamic. It can't stay quiet when it sees wrong. Has to rectify. Right? He said, yeah, but can't we just put that to one side for now? Just to unite the ummah? A common argument. Right? And I said, no, we can't. He said, why? I said, because that's not what Allah commands in the Quran. Allah never said, put the differences to one side and just go ahead. Allah didn't say that. Allah said, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If you differ, then return it back to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I said, this is what He said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and let there rise from amongst you a group of individuals to call to all that is good, Islam. They enjoin the good and they forbid the evil. For indeed they are the ones who are successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, the Salafi can't stay quiet in the face of evil. Because he rectifies. The ghuraba are the rectifiers. That they are those individuals, الَّذِينَ يُصْلِحُونَ إِذَا فَسَدَ النَّاسِ. They are those who rectify when the people have become corrupt. So they are individuals who are hated because, or many of the people hate them. Why? Because they are individuals who will say when something is wrong, and they will encourage the people to do good and khair. This is Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. These are the Salafiyun. In every age, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a narration, هُمْ نُزَّاعُ مِنَ الْقَبَائِلِ. That they are individuals who are plucked, a few from the various nations and tribes. So you find the Salafi, a few from this tribe, a few from that nation, a few from that nation, a few. This is the Salafi, right? Look at you. As I said to the brothers in, I think it was Masjid Sunnah today, just look around you and look at the different people from the different qabail, from the different nations around you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plucks a few from here, from Somalia, from India, from Bangladesh, from Morocco, from Egypt, from Yemen, from Kenya, from South Africa, from the United States, from Canada, from Britain, from Sweden, from everywhere. Ghuraba. Nuzza' min al-qabail. Salafiyya barakallahu feekum is a da'wah that does not look at your forms. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى صُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your outward forms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not looking at your blackness or your whiteness. Whether you're Indian or Bangladeshi or Kenyan or Arab. Whether you are tall or whether you are short, whether you are fat or whether you are slim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your wealth, whether you are rich or whether you are poor. But rather Allah scans the hearts. He looks towards the hearts and towards the deeds. Barakallahu feekum. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the ghuraba. Make us from individuals who pay full concern to our responsibilities, not just the dars, everything. And that we do not see it as, I can't do it. No, we will do it. Because this is the life of toil. You want the reward? Work hard now. You will see the reward. At the end, you will see the reward. Don't say it's too much for me. It's not too much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not burden you with that which you cannot take. You will burden, you will hold the burden. This is Ahlul Sunnah. If you fall into sin, make tawbah. If you make an error, ask Allah to forgive you and move on. This is the Sunni. The Sunni doesn't despair at the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be united. Don't hate each other. لا تباغدوا. Do not hate each other. Do not backbite each other. لا تحاسدوا. Do not have envy for one another. Do not have these things. ولا تدابروا. Don't turn your back if your brother needs you. And if the people forsake you, let them forsake you, so long as we remain upon the haqq behind our ulama. Know your ulama, know their names. And then you say, well, we have to go and visit the ulama now. Yes, that's another thing. Add it to your list and say, alhamdulillah. Another thing that I've got to do, maybe the scales will get heavier. Wa jazakumullahu khairan walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Maybe if the brothers wish after the salah, we can maybe take a few questions. I know the lecture was short, but short is good, alhamdulillah. But after the salah, Abu Aisha, inshallah. After the salah, if the brothers have any particular questions, inshallah, maybe I didn't touch upon them, and I don't mind, inshallah, if I have the ability. Jazakumullah khairan.